Christ Had a Sinful Nature by Nathaniel Burson. Christ had a sinful nature. Yes, his nature was just as vile and filthy as yours. Had you ever realized that? Most people think he was some special being, endowed with special powers and abilities that we don't have. But Christ had the same passions, the same lusts, the same evil, murderous spirit that you have. Shocking, isn't it? But it's true. Christ didn't get special treatment. Christ is worthy of worship and a fit sacrifice because he was made just like men and yet didn't sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted like you are, in all points. Do you have any idea what that means? Who do you think your biggest enemy is? Satan? The world? Your neighbor? Not even close. Your biggest enemy is your own heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the heart of man, all men who have ever lived. James 5, verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah's heart was the same as yours. But when Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, it didn't rain. When you pray, do you get answers like that? No? Then what is the difference between you and Elijah? The difference is that Elijah had a carnal spirit, but he ruled that spirit. He had the same impulses to sin that you do. But when he had an impulse, a lust to sin, he said no. Christ had that same spirit. Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 16. For as much then as the children, you and I, are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Or as Murdoch translates it, he assumed a nature from the seed of Abraham. Christ took upon himself the nature of Abraham, the same heart Abraham had, the same spirit you have. Christ took to show that it can be ruled. You just don't want to badly enough. Verses 17 through 18. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Christ took this nature and this evil spirit of man, and then he was tempted. Where did that temptation come from? Where does your temptation come from? From the world or from your spouse? No, your own spirit does most of your tempting. James 1, verses 13 through 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You are tempted when you are drawn away from your own lust. Christ was tempted in all points like you are. Was he different? No. He took upon himself the nature of Abraham. He chose to adopt that desperately wicked heart to show you that it can be ruled without sinning. And it is that heart that needs the grace of God to cover it. God had to overlook that wicked heart of man that Christ adopted in order to work with Christ. That grace that God gave him was to overlook his fleshly heart. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child, Christ, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Christ had grace. Why did he need it? Because in him dwelt a human spirit. James 4, verses 5 and 6. Do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? But he gives more grace. The spirit that dwells in you, and the one that dwelt in Christ when he was a man, lusts towards envy. Yes, Christ felt lust. He felt the temptation to sin. He had that heart that loves to do wickedness in him all the time. And God gave him grace to cover that. Continuing in verse 6, Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And what a person does with that grace that God gives them determines whether or not they get more grace and grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Christ took that grace God gave him, and by never sinning, he grew in grace with God and man. Luke 2, verse 52. If you take that grace you received when God begins to open your mind and obey God and humble yourself, you will get much more grace. If you are proud and stubbornly refuse to do what is right, he will take away some or all of your grace. And Christ, who had adopted a heart which is unclean by nature, required the grace of God. That spirit that caused him to lust to envy needed grace. James 1, verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. But that heart, while evil, doesn't have to lead to sin. Lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. In other words, when you give in to that lust, it is sin. Christ never did that. Your spirit can be ruled. Proving that was one of the primary purposes of Christ's coming. Christ was tempted in all points like as you are. Christ lusted, just like you do. But Christ didn't sin. He ruled his own spirit and put down that lust. Now, I suppose you'll call all this blasphemous. I suppose you'll reject clear scriptures that show that Christ was tempted. The scriptures that show that Christ was a worthy sacrifice you dare not think about. But Christ himself admitted this fact. Why then can't you accept it? Mark 10, verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Jesus, who had lived a perfect, sinless life, who was beyond reproach of even Satan the devil, this same Jesus said, in effect, I am not good, only God is good. Now, why would he say that? A mock modesty? A false humility? If you and your church are right, then he must have been saying that he wasn't good, when in fact he was good. But that would have been a lie, which would have been a sin. No, Jesus Christ said he was not good, that no man, not even the Son of God, was good, because in him dwelt the carnal nature of Abraham. In Christ, that is, in Christ's flesh, dwelt no good thing, nothing but a spirit that lusted to do evil, which he battled day and night for 30-some years, and yet never gave in to. You see, he played by the same rules as you do, and with no special treatment, to leave you an example by ruling that evil heart and refusing to give in to that lust and commit sin. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. You must rule your spirit and control your lusts and your human heart if you ever intend to be in the first resurrection. Christ came to show you that it is possible. Even though you are made with a heart that is inherently evil, Christ left you no excuse for not ruling that heart. You decide what you will do, and whether or not you will give in to that lust and sin. For more articles, please visit www.thesimpleanswers.com. You may send any questions, comments, complaints, or suggestions to us at questions@thesimpleanswers.com. Thank you for listening.